What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a safe and fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and now we talk to TD. Teron Davenport, he is the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com. He covers the Titans. Talking with TD is his podcast that you need to check out. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Got a chance to just unwind, eat some good food, so can't complain. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
We did. So do you think the Titans were one of those teams that were not ready to open up their facilities yet? Do we have any word if this week that's going to happen or not?
No, nothing as of yet, but you do see multiple facilities being opened and getting the clearance to do so. So I would imagine as we continue to progress through the different phases, at some point in the near future, the Titans will have their facility open, but it's going to be open with restrictions.
When it's open, what do you think is their first order of business? What's the first thing when they go over there to the facility that they try to tackle first? How would you answer that?
I think the first thing they're going to do is form a team just to handle any situations that may arise. That's what I would imagine would be the first thing. So they'll appoint somebody to be in charge of that. And then to have a committee, you know, support that person that they put in charge. I think in addition to that, they'll make sure that all of the maybe, what do you call those, the stands where you could, you know, get the hand sanitizer, they'll make sure that those are distributed. I would imagine they'll map out the facility and have it spaced out so that way with decals on the floor, to separate 6 feet of, you know, create 6 feet of separation. I think those are the type of things they'll tackle first, and then they'll begin to get some of the football people into the building. But, again, it's not going to be just open up and everything is turnkey and going like it would have without this situation arising.
Where do you think the first order of business? Where do you think Clowney is on that list?
I mean, that whole situation is still a mystery, so I can't really call that. I think they will at some point take a look at him. I mean, it's only right, and I think this is probably the best situation for him. But I really can't say where that is. I think, you know, that's probably behind getting everyone else in there and getting some type of normalcy to OTAs and minicamp, et cetera.
What do you think when you look at – let's go back to the part that you're talking about, figuring out all the logistics that we're constantly talking about with other sports, but the NFL has been the one that's kind of stayed true to their schedule. I mean, they really haven't deviated at all. Obviously, the draft was different, but it still went off in the same window and or time frame. Where do you think they are as a league? Because there really isn't much coming out about, I mean, training camps are supposed to crank up at the end of July. Where do you think they are on those type of discussions? Do you think they have any idea whether it's going to be business as usual or if there's going to be a delay? Do you think they know that?
No. I mean, how could you know, to be honest with you? But I think unlike a lot of other leagues, the NFL has the luxury of not having games actually scheduled in the midst of the pandemic. So it's definitely worked out in their favor, and that's a part of why they've been able to stick to everything. But, again, it goes back to just continuing to work through the phases. I think as these phases continue to be worked through, they'll get closer to an actual training camp. But I'm just curious how they're going to allow the media interaction to take place. Every other camp, they've had the fans there. I don't think that that's going to be something that's going to happen in training camp. And then you have the logistics of traveling. And then even you remember, Mike Vrabel said that he wanted to look at having one, maybe even two teams, joint practices, two sessions. So that's something else to look at. So, I think they're just shooting forward with the expectation of things to go off as normal, but understanding that there's going to be room for an audible to be called.
Talking to Teron Davenport, talking with TD, as we like to do on the show. He's, of course, got the podcast. He covers the Titans for ESPN. Teron, I want to ask a question. I remember the day after, and it was the day after the FC Championship game where the Titans had been beaten by the Chiefs, we immediately started kicking around the Tom Brady idea. We know now that he is with the Buccaneers, and it is amazing to me how much discussion, and it really shouldn't be amazing because we have all this time to contemplate, and as you said, you know, we're still got to work out all the logistics here to have a season. But all the odds makers seem to think that the Tampa Bay Bucs are in the top five or at least top seven teams in the NFL right now. A, do you buy that? And B, do you think that there could be a little bit of overhype, kind of like the Browns got? They're sort of like the Browns of last year. They're getting the most attention because of the offseason moves they made.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of overhype, and I'm not so sure if they're a top five team. I kind of liken it to back when LeBron James went to the Heat, right? And everybody just instantly crowned them as the best team. And starting off, they were not, right? It took some time for them to get in sync, right? You had Chris Bosh coming there. Well, just the same, you have Gronkowski coming there and Brady. It's going to take time for everything to settle into place under normal circumstances. But then with these circumstances that we're looking at, I think it's going to take even more. So I wouldn't expect them to come out the gate being NFL champions, right? I think they'll probably be a contender as the year goes on and they start to find their rhythm. But it is true. I mean, to put them as a top five team right now is not something I would necessarily do. And I think you have to look right in that division. The Saints are a pretty darn good team, you know, and there hasn't been much turnover as far as the Saints are concerned. So I think that's the team actually to beat in that division, let alone in the NFC and also as a Super Bowl contender.
You know, it's an interesting parallel you made with LeBron going to the Heat. And, of course, the difference is Tom Brady probably does not, I mean, I'm pretty sure, unless he is not human, he doesn't have the timeline that LeBron had at the time he went to the Heat. So Tampa has really got to make it happen pretty quick. They can't really grow into being a contender. That's what's compelling about it for me, Teron. But I remember you were pro Brady. You think Brady still got good football left in him. And so that to me is the really intriguing part of him going to Tampa Bay, especially amidst all this hype we're talking about.
Yeah, I think he definitely still has good football in him. And I think at times he showed flashes last season, even though he didn't have the typical Tom Brady-like season that he's had. But I think there's plenty left with him. And I think when you put together that timing on offense and you give him those weapons, you know, that shifty slot receiver, the tight end, I think you could really put a situation together for him to be productive and be a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback. I mean, that's what he is, period. So, yeah, I was definitely pro Brady, you know, as far as looking at the idea to bring him in. I think end of the day, the Titans, they knew what was best for their situation, and I think their decision was a good decision, and we'll see how this season plays out.
All right, I'm going to ask the weekly question that I know we don't have the answer to, but What does your mind tell you right now, Teron, on where things stand with Jadeveon Clowney?
I think it's status quo. It stands right where it has always stood, in that there's interest, and in the right situation, they'll make it happen. But I think you have to look at, again, as we get further and further into the out of the off season and into the preseason, so to speak, that number is going to go down further and further. And the situation for him, as far as the Titans being the right situation, gets better and better because he can hit the ground running because he already knows the scheme. So I still think the Titans are the favorite to land Clowney. I think it just comes down to the right deal being put in place.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, also talking with TD, the podcast, Chasing TD in the fall. My co-hosts on that, so always enjoy having our conversations. I need you to clarify something, though, because we were talking about the facilities reopening and when that could happen fully for the Titans, but Jeffrey Simmons, as a player that's been rehabbing, he's been allowed at the facility, correct?
Yes, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown also. There are select players that have been in the facility.
So do they go in? Do you know the details? Do they go in by themselves? Do they have a strength coach that's able to be there and do some workouts with them? I'm just wondering what the logistics are with that.
I know they go in by themselves. I'm not sure if they have a specific strength coach working with them, whether that's, you know, Coach Pirano or not. I'm not sure how that really has been in place. I know when they've been asked, they've been very vague as far as some of the questions were, how many people are you seeing in the building? And they just say, well, you know, we just go in, keep our head down, do our job, and then leave. So that's pretty much the extent of what we've been told.
I was just looking for a little clarification on that, so I appreciate it. So this morning I was reading through ESPN.com, came out with the Football Power Index, the 2020 season rankings and predictions that they do every year. And I find this stuff just to be fascinating because it's a good talking point when you're trying to make those predictions looking at the season. Obviously, Kansas City is number one, but they have the Titans ranked 16th with projected wins at 8.4 and a chance to reach the playoffs at 55%. This seems about on par with what a lot of the national pundits think about this team, but what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the Titans will win 10 games, not 8.4, so I would boost that number up, which would in turn boost their chances of making the playoffs. But I think it's fair. It has the Titans as a playoff team, which is what they should be. Me personally, though, I would – and if you look, the Colts were 8.6, and I think they had a 58% chance. So they were just neck and neck with the Colts for tops in the division. So I think – conceptually, that's about where you should have the Titans projected. I just will probably have both teams escalated up the chart a little bit higher because I think both teams are better than the ranking. I think the Colts were like 14. So I think both teams are better than the bottom half of the top of the ranking.
They also have the, you know, ranking the schedules, the hardest and easiest schedules. The Broncos listed with the hardest schedule, the Colts listed with the easiest schedule, but they have the Titans number two with the easiest schedule. And I know everything they're factoring into that and the percentages, but I look at especially those first six games for the Titans and I see more question marks, which I can't really say that's easy by any means. They haven't won a game in Denver since they have been the Tennessee Titans. So and you got the Steelers in there as well. So what do you think about that of being ranked the second easiest schedule?
Yeah, I don't really like ranking schedules, especially being as though the toughness of the schedule was based upon last year's results. Well, guess what? Things change, right? The Patriots aren't the same team. The Bucks aren't the same team. Things change. So I don't really get into all that. I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you play the people in front of you, and that's really what it comes down to. And at the end of the year, the results fall the way they fall. So strength of schedule, toughness of schedule, I don't buy into that. Like, I like what Mike Vrabel says as far as controlling what he can control. You know, they'll play wherever they're asked to play, and they'll go out and try to win the ball game, and that's really what it comes down to.
And just another thing that stood out to me in this is the Jags have a 23% chance to land the number one overall pick, which we all believe will be Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to try the Gardner Minshew experiment. The FPI doesn't feel good about that and thinks that they would land Trevor Lawrence number one overall. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jags will be one of the worst teams. It's just funny to me because, you know, a certain website that everybody goes to and thinks the rankings are biblical had Gardner Minshew as the best rookie quarterback last year. I'm sure that Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray would disagree, but, you know, at end of the day, it's good for chatter. I don't see the Jaguars being good. There's just too much turmoil and too much just that situation is just not right for any group of guys to play football, but you never know what could happen.
And finally, what did you make of basically the pass interference rule last year that just coming out and Troy Vincent just saying, hey, this thing failed miserably. The PI replay, what did you make of that?
I agree because it rarely got overturned. So if you're going to give somebody an opportunity to challenge, at least give them a chance to win. And, you know, most of the time it didn't get overturned. So, yeah, I agree. It was a joke. And it's something that Mike Vrabel, I know Coach Vrabel talked about that multiple times throughout the year. And I'm sure that he and a lot of other head coaches are glad that's not in place anymore.
Ryan Clark, I know, Willie, you watch Get Up. I don't know if you saw this. Ryan Clark this morning on Get Up said he believes the league did that on purpose, that they set it up for failure just to basically tell the Saints and anybody who else who wanted it, yeah, that was a bad idea. In other words, it was set up for failure. He didn't, you know, because obviously after that play happened, you know, there was this knee-jerk reaction, and he felt like they kind of did it to appease them, but they also set it up to fail. Because remember, those were the questions we were all asking. Like, how are they not overturning? Like, we're all seeing things and going, how could they actually call that? How could they look at that and come back and say, you know, give that decision? So, I don't know. I didn't know if you'd seen that or not. I thought it
was
interesting.
Well, I have so many thoughts of how this thing has gone. I think it's fascinating that they have scrapped it just once and for all, rather than do what the NHL has done with goaltender interference, where it's been an evolving thing. There's been a lot of growing pains. There's been a lot of stuff. But I think they've got it to the point where it is workable. There's a better understanding of what it is, especially, guys, when you attach a penalty to it. That's what I'm surprised, that they did not go down that road of, okay, you can challenge, but if you're wrong, you get a penalty. And so you would only challenge if it is really, really clear-cut. And then the league would have to then balance that out with getting rid of this farce of, oh, man, we just don't overturn. That's basically the message they were sending. Yeah, we just don't overturn those calls unless it's, you know, a crime committed on the field or something short of that. You know, I think they could have worked with it if they wanted to. Because now they're going to set themselves up. Somebody is going to have another Saints kind of play. I don't know if it'll be in the AFC or NFC championship game, but there's going to be a play in a big game that happens where they're saying, well, we used to have a way to challenge this, but not anymore.
Yeah, I'm of the if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it school. So I don't really support every year having these rule changes, to be honest with you. And I get it. It was a big play, but, you know, my thought process is this. Don't go down. Don't go up 10-0 in the championship game in your own building and give up the lead. You know, that's just me. But end of the day, I get it. People are using that one play as an excuse for the Saints losing to the Rams. And, I mean, it is what it is. But there's just a good aspect to having that human error in the game, you know. So I don't think they should strive for like absolute perfection, you know, robotic-like perfection. Just let the games play out.
It is funny how you watch all these old games. We you know, if you're watching any games, you're watching old games. Some might be from 5 years ago. Some might be from last year. Some might be from 20 years ago or 30. And it is funny how whichever sport you're watching, you will see some bad calls in games that took place before replay, and it was that was the call, right? They might have said, hey, that was a bad call. They missed that one. But you know what? Life went on, right? They played the game, and they had a result, and that's what happened.
81 times that play was challenged, 13 times it was overturned. So very, very small number. Appreciate the visit, as always. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Take it easy.
Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast, and you should check that out every week. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. We'll do This Is What I Know coming up at 11:45. Vince Ferrara, WNML, Sports Animal in Knoxville. We'll talk to him at high noon. So a lot of things to get into here on the program. And as we were just talking about, I was just reading where it looks like NFL head coaches could return to team facilities as early as next week with full squad minicamps potentially on the docket for mid to late June. So that's where the NFL, going off our conversation we just had, of that's where the NFL could be, and it'll be interesting to see if indeed that plays out. It is interesting how the whole Clowney thing is pretty quiet, and I realize because nothing has changed. Clearly, the teams that are interested, and I don't know who the teams are at this point, but you hear the Titans, you hear the Browns, you hear, I mean, there's...
Those are the two most consistent, I would say, outside of maybe the Seahawks, but that seemed to cool off.
I don't hear much about the Seahawks anymore. I kind of feel like, while they haven't ruled it out, I kind of just feel like they've moved on. You don't hear much Seattle chatter around Clowney. It seems very clear that, obviously, they're going to wait for the medicals. They want to see him. They want to bring him to the facility. They want their team of experts to check him out. That seems like that's what it feels like teams are at with him. And so I do wonder if these facilities, as they start to open up and they're going to, you know, a little bit more business as usual at NFL team facilities, when the Clowney news is going to hit, because I have to believe at some point when John Robinson and the head coach and others are in that facility, that there's going to be a scheduled Clowney visit, I would think, and then they'll make the decision whether they're interested or not.
I would have to think that if the Titans felt like there were 10 teams or even 6 teams that were really working hard and wanted to sign Clowney, that they would know that, and that would affect their decision. I think they've come to realize that they're not competing with a whole lot of teams. Otherwise, I think he'd be signed by now. That's my theory anyway. And I agree with you, Darren, that I think they would really like to investigate and do all of the physical look at all of the data on how he's recovered to try to come to the right agreement. But my question in all of this is going to be, do you think the price has come down? I've seen that speculated. My son is watching this like a hawk. Every day he's asking me, what's the story with Clowney? He really wants them to sign him. I think a lot of Titans fans feel the same way, right? I think it would really look good for morale and everything. When you lose a guy like Jarrell Casey and you lose Logan Ryan, it's hard to sit there and say, well, you lost those guys for what? You know, to get younger? Okay, yeah, I get it. But what did you do with those resources? And signing Clowney just makes a lot of sense, right? Going a little bit younger, just as talented, maybe with a high ceiling, that's enticing. For sure. So that's my question. Has the price come down, and is that part of the strategy of John Robinson here?
Well, and I think conventional wisdom would tell you that because he's been on the market so long that the price probably has come down. But, I mean, when he did that workout for the TV station in Houston, I mean, he was basically saying that he's willing to wait and he wants teams to be able to see him and get in front of them and then make their decision. So I wonder if in his mind, in his camp's mind, if they're hoping that they can get maybe not the price they originally asked for, but a little bit more than teams are willing to pay right now if they get a good look at him. I mean, you would think that from the team side, it's okay, we can pay less, and from his side, I'm going to get as much as possible. But whatever that final price is, we'll have to wait and see. But that's why I think he's just still there, still out there. They're both sides want to wait until they can get in front of each other.
I know that this portion of it does factor in. But personally, just my thoughts, I don't feel like that's the reason he hasn't signed. I just think that he and his camp have overpriced their value. I think the league is telling them, which, by the way, happens all the time. All the time. By the way, Logan Ryan, what team is he on again? Who's he signed with?
He still has the FA next to his name, FA.
Right, he does. He has FA. And I have a joke, but I'm FA. No, he is still a free agent. He has not signed anywhere.
UFA.
What I think is, I think they've their price. Look, you see this on the market all the time. If you've ever been house shopping, car shopping, right? You see a car you really like, but you also think that's overpriced. You've done the comps elsewhere, and you can find cars same style, same body. This particular car lot is their price. They've overpriced it, and I'm talking about a used car, and the housing market all the time too, right? You see houses where you can ask one thing, and you think that is what you deserve to get paid, or you think you're in the right ballpark, and the market tells you, yeah, we like your house, but it's too high. Like your number is not right. And so eventually they have to start coming down. And I just think this is simply, while I understand the medicals are a part of this, I don't believe that's the reason he hasn't been signed. I believe that the market has told his camp, him and his camp, your price is too high. You're not, I'm sorry, you're just not, we like you, but you're not worth what you're saying you're worth. You're just not.
Well, don't the medicals play into that, though?
The numbers, the film and the numbers tell us that you're not worth that money. Even, forget them, if he's 100%, is he worth it? Considering what we know. Like, most people have said he is, against the run, fantastic. Is he an elite athlete? Yes. Does he have a special skill set? Yes. But there's other things when you say all that, it's supposed to translate. And, you know, we know there's been like one season where he really got to the quarterback. Other than that, you know, whatever you think about sacks, it's still a stat that usually there's a number there and people get paid because of that number. You can make up all the circumstances. Well, he's double-teamed, he's triple-teamed. That's fine. But still, that number is about – there's a guy that gets 14 or 15 sacks, and however he did it, that number still usually gets him paid. He gets paid more money as opposed to a guy, even with all that being said, who came up with a season with 5 sacks. And I don't care the circumstances. So there's other things that are involved. And when you also hear that – you know, he takes plays off, or, you know, all the stuff that we heard about Albert Haynesworth. So there is this uncertainty with teams, I feel like, where they're saying he's got a lot of the intangibles, but maybe they don't like the motor. The motor is not fully running all the time. And whenever you're talking about that type of money, don't you need for the motor to be running at a high level? Like, nobody ever says that about J.J. Watt, right? Nobody ever says, yeah, boy, we just love for him to kick it in gear like that all the time. I mean, his biggest problem is his body's breaking down, right? But nobody ever questions his motor. Nobody ever questions what he does from play to play.
No
like,
doubt.
Don't you need Clowney to be in that mode if you're talking about that kind of money?
Yes.
Sure.
But I think there's also the buyer beware that at this point he probably is who he is at this point. Mike Vrabel probably knows more than anybody else what you are getting, though. So that's an important piece of information, having been around him. But I think what you're saying, Darren, is the price is coming down. The price is coming down for those reasons you just said, that eventually when he signs, he's going to have to take the offer that's there. And I think the Titans are trying to take advantage of that as much as they can. And as you said, right at the car dealership, right? You have to, A, be willing to walk away, but you also have to be willing to live with the fact that if another person comes in there,
that's correct.
You know, you're sitting there going, I'm walking away until they drop the price. Well, that's fine, but if somebody else walks in and buys the car, then you're out. Then you got to find another car.
That's correct. That's a great analogy. Yes. You have to have your number and say, I'm willing to walk away, but you also have to understand that you may walk away and that house or car that you truly, secretly, really want, but it's got to be right, it's got to be the right price, you also know that it may not be there. And then you have to start the process over, right?
Yep.
And that's why I'm wondering, they must have come to this conclusion, right? Because weeks have gone by where that could have happened. Somebody else could have swooped in there and grabbed him if they wanted to overpay. And I don't mind the philosophy. I'm just wondering, could you roll with this group that you have right now and Clowney's not a part of the team and feel really good about your defense, about your team overall? Or is there another guy that they say, well, you know, Plan B is over here, and this guy could really help us. I still don't know who those guys are that much.
Yeah.
I still like the Clowney. But they've come to that conclusion. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I just think one positive, because one thing I thought about as other NFL facilities started open, and we did see some signings last week. I mean, Joe Flacco got a backup job.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
that was interesting.
With the Jets.
Very interesting.
Of course it's the Jets, yeah. Right?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Of course. I laughed. I'm like, of course it was the Jets who signed Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense, right, that they would do that. But there were some signings, and you kind of wonder, all right, those are some teams that may or may be reopening. And so I was like, could a team swoop in, bring him in for a visit, and then not let him leave without a contract, get it done? So at least as of now, he's still unsigned. I wonder – you know, does that mean anything? Is that just a coincidence, or is he waiting for some of these teams that, you know, have been identified as potential suitors, including the Titans? Is he waiting for their facilities to open so he can get in front of them? I don't know. It's just a thought that's come to my mind.
I think when you look around the division, the Jags, as we've talked about, we all can agree that the Jags are going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, they can still be one of the worst teams in the league when they have hype, when people think they're good. Now nobody thinks they're good, so it's definitely plausible to think that they may truly be one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the league. And so, you know what? Maybe they're doing what the Dolphins did. It's just time to – this hasn't worked, so let's clear the deck. And, you know, there's a pretty attractive piece in the most important position sitting out there that you'll need to have a very, very high draft pick to get. So let's just clear the deck and, you know, let's basically start over. And that's what it feels like, right? They've done exactly the model of the Dolphins. Like, think about it. They've done nothing. They've said, Minshew, he's our guy. Cam Newton's still sitting out there. If they were serious about this year, I would think that they would have signed Cam Newton by now. You know, I mean, think about all the quarterbacks that went elsewhere, and they're riding with, you know, Gardner Minshew. So it's like, and Miami was doing the same thing, right? We're like, they're going with Rosen? What? Are you serious? And then they sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's like, yeah, okay. This team clearly has, you know, that's when the whole tanking for Tua. I think it would be an injustice to the, and I don't, you know, look, I still want John Robinson to do the right thing. The right thing is if they have a number and they're just, and I don't think they should overpay, but when you look at the landscape of the division, everybody also believes that the Texans have taken a step backwards. True? And I get it. They've won the division 4 out of 6 years, and you can never count them out. They've got a pretty special quarterback. But they traded away their number one, an elite receiver, a true number one in the league who's a force, who arguably may be the best receiver in the league, to Arizona and, you know, got pennies on the dollar in return. I mean, yeah, you got David Johnson, but I don't think David Johnson is just going to flip the switch in Houston and return to form. I don't think anybody believes that. So that leaves the Titans and the Colts. And most people believe the Colts have gotten significantly better, and their schedule is incredibly weak. So I suspect there's going to be a really nice bounce back from the Colts. So the division, what I'm getting at, is kind of theirs for the taking, true? I mean, they're right there, and a guy like Clowney could put them over the top of, you know, doing something that we haven't talked about in a long time in this market, and that's actually winning a division. You know, sure, winning the AFC South and actually hosting a playoff game. What a concept that would be. Like, actually having a playoff game in Nashville. I just think it's really ripe, and it's there for them. And I think a difference maker like Clowney at the right price. Like I said, I don't want the Titans to overpay for him. But a guy like him can change your season. It can propel you to where people then go, yeah, I'd say they're the team to beat in the division. And if that's the case, wouldn't it be worth it? Even if you had to overpay just a little bit. But if we're talking about winning a division and hosting a playoff game, wasn't it worth it? I mean, hosting, sure, a playoff game is worth millions. True?
Well, yeah. if there are people there.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Hey, according to the Dolphins, they're going to be fans. So.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm going on a sellout. So I guess you're right. I guess there might not be 69,000. In January. I don't think we'll still be at that point, which will be interesting, right? You think about it, the hottest ticket in sports for a long time has been the Super Bowl, and what if we're still not at full capacity by February, right? Like, how weird would it be to see the Super Bowl with, you know, 40% of the fans in the stands?
I reserve the right to change this opinion because things have been changing so much lately, but I just, for some reason, I think there will be. I think the fans will have full capacity at the Super Bowl. By that point, I just feel like they will. The NFL has been so determined.
We're believers. We believe.
The NFL has been so determined to stay on course and status quo that, you know, maybe they start the season on time without fans or limited fans, but I just feel like by then.
What will have changed by February?
I have no idea. That's why I'm saying it's.
Well,
just
you would have to
a,
have an idea to throw that out there. Like what's, like, I don't think you believe there'll be a vaccine by then. So what's changed?
I just think there will be more of a mindset
more
of
knowledge,
this thing
more
is
education,
yeah,
what
more knowledge of the virus, more of a mindset of it's here and not going away. So we have to live with it, and there will be, you know, the NFL will have procedures in place to help with this, but I just feel like because of all that, because of the information that we will have had by then, and again, it'll probably change, but I think they'll be able to allow fans in. No, I don't think they'll have a vaccine by then, though. Maybe one will be in the testing phases, but not one that's readily available.
I think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that there would be a vaccine by February.
Yeah,
the first week of first Sunday in February. Highly, I mean, I would say what? 3% chance or less? Or is that being too generous? I guess I didn't want to be 1% or less.
I don't know.
I think it's really, really, really low. So I'm just curious why you said that, because I don't think really nothing is going to change. I mean, I know, by the way, that'll be a cold weather month. So I just was curious why you said that.
It's just one of those feelings, but also, you know, as we have said, things just keep changing. So who knows? I could change my opinion in a week and say, nope, no way, no way, no how, because of more information that comes out. So,
is that what you know, or was that just?
It's what I think.
That's just
not
what
I know.
Think.
I am not willing to say this is what I know, but nice.
Is that a new segment on our show? This is what I think.
This is what I think.
That would be funny to change it to that. Like, we're admitting we don't know anything. We just think it.
And then there's Peter King, 10 things I think, or whatever it is in his Monday morning quarterback column
that
he's had for a number of years.
Well, what I think is what I know. We will come back with Tawick on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Get in there, participate. We'll have a prize attached to it, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call or text us. what you know next on 102.5 The Game.
No,
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yeah, we do want to know what you know. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Call us, text us. This is where we're looking for a little interaction for you. And by the way, if you own or manage a small business and you are back safely open, you want to let people know about that. We've got Free Business Friday as we sit here on this Tuesday, and we're offering you free advertising to local businesses that are open and working. That is a no-cost, no-catch offer for you. Visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. That's thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. That has been a big hit on our show on Friday. So we want you to jump in there and get involved. Who wants to start?
I can start.
Okay.
I'll be happy to. So I had another one that was related to my favorite sport, but I'm changing because that seems to be the way of the world, that we change on the fly with new information. And since our call with Teron Davenport, we have new information. He tweeted out, and he sent this to me just a few minutes ago, the Titans have started to allow employees into the team's facility today. No coaches or players are allowed other than the few that have been going there for rehab. The NFL has rules in place dictating that only up to 75 employees can return at this point. So per our conversation with Teron Davenport, it would appear that the Titans facility is inching closer and closer to reopening. So some employees being allowed. That is what I know.
That is very good. He sent me the same thing, and I was like, huh, okay. That's up-to-the-minute new news. There you go. That was per our conversation to start this hour.
Yes,
yeah,
so I thought
I'd pass that. Do you want to go, or do you want me to go?
Well, I'll sort of stay along the same lines. I will just give a little bit of recent news because we had a great discussion about some of this in the first hour. Dan Rosen on Twitter. Gary Bettman to make an announcement today at 3:30 Central Time regarding the return to play plan for the season. Find it on NBCSN and NHL Network in the U.S., Sportsnet and TVA Sports in Canada, and streaming live on NHL.com. So they've alerted all that they're going to televise this. So this has got to be something of substance. The question is what? So that I don't know, but I do know that he's going to talk.
Okay. All right, we're rolling. I saw this over the weekend, and teardrop emoji, it made me very sad. And I think this is something that, you know, we can try to help out, definitely bring awareness to. But these are some of the things that we've talked about. And, you know, from COVID-19, that there's going to be a fallout. And we've talked about a lot of sports going away. And when I saw this, it just made me incredibly sad. But Alabama Huntsville Chargers, their men's ice hockey team, right now they have said they are going to close up shop. And that's bad. That is coming from the AD, Cade Smith. He made that announcement over the weekend. I think it was late Friday that the university would be eliminating their hockey program effective immediately. Of course, this came to a great shock to people. That is a big-time hockey program. We've talked about it a lot over the years on this show. They've been around for, I think, four-plus decades. Been around a long time. It's a very strong program. I know they've got a GoFundMe right now. They're raising money. And I think the last check, they were still a little bit under $100,000. But their goal is to raise $500,000. And we just need to keep getting there. There's a really good hockey program, and it saddened me to read that over the weekend and see that Alabama Huntsville was going to get rid of their hockey program. And I hope it doesn't happen. I hope they rally, and I hope they raise the money and they realize this is a bad decision. And it's a really good Division I hockey program. They're in the Sun Belt, and I hope they get it fixed. I hope they rectify this.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I know.
I know, you know, you guys, as you mentioned, you know, it's come up on this show quite a bit, but, you know, we have Penalty Box Radio on this station. Justin Bradford, you know, Big Ben was a big part of that, and they have done a lot with UAH.
Yep.
and had their coaches and players on and alumnus on. So, I first found out about that, you know, on Twitter, where you find out a lot of information, but I saw Justin tweeting about it and, C Mace, of course, bringing it up. So yeah, hopefully we can do enough to save it and help with that. And I just saw the GoFundMe and retweeted it myself. So hopefully people will do their part. But just say, you know, and this is a part of the conversation we've been having, guys, of, you know, the trickle down effect of not playing sports and these smaller programs and how it affects, you know, one sport affects the other. I think Marquise said that the tennis program was also affected. So this is the unfortunate, you know, one of the many unfortunate things of this whole pandemic.
Well, the whole sports model, I think, for youth sports all the way up through all levels of amateur sports could have a big reset here, depending on how long it takes for us to get out of this. There's so many strands to it. But as you've said many times, Chase, maybe the silver lining is it could change for the better in some ways, but certainly this is a big issue, just limiting the number of places that kids can play and continue their career. So I do hope we can salvage as many as possible. And the UAH program has been around for decades, for sure. Cam Talbot, who has played many a game against the Predators over the years for the Rangers and then the Oilers and the Flames, you know, he's a UAH guy. You know, he's not from Huntsville or anything, but as many have pointed out, it's just a place. There's not that many places that offer scholarships and you can play that high level of Division I hockey, particularly in the South. So this is a very important thing to try to protect if it's all possible.
I know they're getting people to sign a petition too, and I think last time I looked, they had around 55,000 people that had signed their petition. And a lot of people donating, like I said, but their goal is to get to 500,000. So I hope they reach that. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, guys, this is what I know. I had the best idea that I've ever had in my life this weekend, and I want to share it with y'all. So you know how certain sites you go and you're potentially buying a ticket, and it will give you a video of still picture view of the seat you're looking to purchase, right?
Yep,
right.
From sitting in your seat. Okay, so these no fans in the arena, NBA and hockey games coming up, you can't do one for every seat because that's not plausible. But you could have one fixed camera in every section. And the people who, season ticket holders in that section, could get a special login and they could watch without the commentary, just the rink announcer, and as the kicker, you could put a small cluster of speakers there, and it would be video in to the ticket holder and audio back out to the players on the ice or on the court. Can you imagine how cool that would be? That would give you some semblance of a crowd cheering for you when something goes well. There could be booing at the free throw line. I may be crazy, and you can tell me if I am. You've never failed to do so before, but I really think that's a brilliant idea, and that would, I imagine a lot of people would really love to log in and see the games from their point of view that they're used to seeing.
So,
what do you think?
It's an interesting idea. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, I'm not smart enough to know engineering-wise how you make all that work, how that I'm not tech savvy.
It certainly could be done
to figure that out.
They imagine NASCAR, Chase. I know a guy who works. He doesn't do the big cup races, but he does like the truck series and stuff. And he sits in the audio truck, and he manages like 75 cameras. You know, all the cars that have cameras, they got five or six of them.
Sure.
And when you switch to that camera, the audio comes on with it. And it's not that the technology exists for sure. And there's people who are out of work who are audio and video engineers who would probably love the chance to get that kind of work. And the people have already bought their season tickets anyway, so why not give them that option? You know how you can watch certain games and see just the coach cam from the end zone or just right. the sideline cam. It's out there. And I just haven't heard anybody say it. But if it does happen, y'all get me a little cut back and you can keep the rest.
I like that. Thanks, Barrett. I think that it's definitely possible to do something similar to that. Now, you know, putting a camera every seat or every other seat, that would be probably tough to do. You need a lot of GoPros to be able to pull that off. But you could do it like in the sections or in the general area and do something similar to that, because if you're using two arenas, which is what they're for the NHL, what they're talking about, then you could basically say, okay, if you sit in section 202, then here's your login and you can watch from section 202 or have different camera angles. I mean, there's definitely something you could build off from that idea.
All right, that will do it for this hour.
We do have a text. We do have a text, real quick.
Go ahead.
Brandy says, this is what I know. Chrissy Teigen makes the best banana bread. Her recipe helped me win the Memorial Day banana bread bake-off.
Oh, I love banana bread. Wow. Well, good job by Brandy, and good job by Chrissy Teigen. I didn't know that she had a fantastic recipe out there for banana bread.
Now you do.
I love banana bread, especially hot and warm with a little butter on it. All right, we'll come back. Head east, Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. That's next.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.